Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
It's so good to be here, guys. It's so good to have this opportunity. My plan is to try and run back and forth on the stage as fast as possible so the cameras can't catch me. So camera guys, get ready. Guys, girls, whoever. It is just such an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before you guys. And most importantly, it is an honor and a privilege to lead your students. Like, there is no greater honor than to come in on a Friday night and watch these kids worship God, watch these kids seek after the Lord, all right? Because there's a lot of things these students could be seeking out after right now, all right? And the fact that they are here on a Friday night worshiping their Creator is such a blessing, all right? And I'm just so proud of you guys. Like, not because, you know, you stood up here and you killed it in worship, not because you guys were in the audience with your hands raised showing these adults how to worship, but because, like, you guys seek the Lord, all right? And they are an example to all of us on what a relationship with Jesus looks like, all right? And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about our relationship with the Lord, all right? Because that is the most important thing in our lives. And if there is one thing that we focus on at Crown and student ministries in general, is that these students will have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. All right. They won't come on Friday night because their friends are here. They won't come on Friday night because their parents make them, but they come on Friday night because they want to meet their Creator. All right. And that goes for all of us. Why are you here on a Sunday morning? Are you checking a box? Are you here because the cold brew is really good? Or are you here because you are here to meet with your Creator? All right, and so this message is about 245 points. So we have until, 1:30? So we should be good, all right? It should be good. But this is kind of a two-part message, all right? The first part, we're going to be talking some practical things, all right? And then the second part, we're going to really, really dive into our relationship with God. Because it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, your relationship with Jesus Christ is all that matters. All right? And not only do these students need to be an example to you, but everyone in this room needs to be an example to them. All right? Because that will make a difference. But before we get started, we almost forgot the most important thing. All right, now I can preach. All right, let's do this. All right, so, oh man. Oh no, oh there it is, all right. Whew. All right, let's shake it off here, all right. So, I'm a little nervous. You know, most of my sermons are about 15 minutes, and then you end up drinking soda through a sock. So this is going to be a lot different than what I'm used to doing. Someone is going to swallow a live goldfish today, though, so be ready, all right? Because that's just what youth pastors do. Being a youth pastor is truly the greatest job on the planet. Like, working with these students is truly just a blessing and a privilege. And thankfully, I am lucky enough to not only get them for the few hours I get them on Friday nights, but I see a majority of them in Kings. And so it's been very, very cool to not only, like, have that time on Friday night, but also to see them at school, to see them in class. And also, working with just Crown, at Kings, I have an opportunity to just minister to the senior high, the United students. And if there's one thing that, like, I really want to see in student ministries is that there is a seamless growth from his kids all the way to adulthood. Because let's be honest, the statistics are staggering when you start to look at how many teenagers go on to serve the Lord after their high school. All right, and so one of the things that God has really put on my heart is that as these kids grow up through his kids, and Pastor Holly and Roger talked about how they have some students that have gone all the way up through his kids, and it's really cool to watch, but that these kids, it's a seamless transition. All right, so some of you, you may have heard my voice booming down the hallway, while as I lead on Sunday mornings, doing the Sunday morning group with his kids. And then you have Crown, and then all the way through United, and being a part of Kings and being a part of his kids and Crown, it is a seamless transition because these kids know who I am. All right, it's not the like, oh, I graduated from his kids and, you know, all of a sudden it's Pastor Bill, and then you graduate from Pastor Bill and it's, you know, Holly and Roger. Like, you know, these kids get to see us from the time they're yay tall to the time that they're yay tall, like Dylan, all right? And believe me, I've seen Dylan when he was yay tall and now yay tall. Most of the kids are yay tall to me, but it's fine, all right? And so it's been really cool to watch that transpire. It's been really cool to see some of these kids. Almost every kid who was up here on stage today, I have seen in his kids. I watched go through Crown, and I now see them in United. And that is such an incredible blessing, all right, to watch these kids grow in the Lord. All right, and so that's kind of what I'm going to be talking about a little bit today, as well as that relationship. And so this is the practical part, all right? This part is for you guys, because I've never had all of you in the same room at the same time. So buckle up, all right? So if you've got a Bible, turn to 2 Timothy, all right, chapter 3, and we're going to go all the way to verse 14. All right, and this is what it says. It says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." All right, and so these students are learning about God. They are learning about Jesus at a young age, because of his kids, because of Crown, because of United. All right? And so we want them to know these things at this age, so that way as they get older, they trust in Jesus. Myself and, I was going to say Mrs. Maida, but myself and Nicole, all right, about 8 years ago, we, and I'm sure you probably could tell this already, we became beach body coaches, all right? And so, we don't do it anymore, as you also can probably tell, but we became beach body coaches, all right? And our name, the name of our, like, beach body, whatever it is, was GB Nation. It was Get Your Glorified Body Now. That was our slogan, all right? And so, all right? When I don't know how we're not like living in a giant mansion right now, but you know, we're building our mansions in heaven is what we're doing. But the thing that, if you don't know what Beachbody is, it's the DVDs that you work out at home, and they do all the jumps and the kicks and like all that stuff, all right? And so one of the things that we used to say was just hit play. Because like if you hit play and you do the video, you know, whatever happens after that is fine. Now, I used to hit the video and then sit on the couch and just watch them do the stuff. So maybe you did need to actually jump around and do some stuff. But it was just hit play. All right. And so here's the deal, parents. Just show up. Your students need to be in student ministries. All right. They need to be there. Okay. And believe me, I am a parent of three children. I know how hard it is to get kids out the door. I know how easy it is to be like, you know what? It's sprinkling outside. We don't need to go to church. You know what I mean? Or like, you know what? I have a thing and there's this other thing. We don't have to go to youth group. Or, you know, and it becomes so easy for us to play hooky, skip church. All right? But here's the thing, guys. They need to be in church. And not only do they need to be in the building, but they need to be in the service, all right? They can't be in the River Lobby on their phones drinking a coffee. No, look, I get it. They're here in the building, and God can do anything, anywhere at any time. There's that K-Love song where it's like, I met God in the grocery parking lot or whatever. I mean, like, that happens, okay? It happens. But they need to be in this place. They need to be in his presence, because I'm going to be honest with you guys. It does not matter how many times I tell your child, Finn, stop talking during worship. Finn, pay attention. Finn, stop throwing chickens at Pastor Bill. Whatever it is, all right? No matter how many times I tell Finn to stop doing that, you know what's going to change Finn's heart? It's the presence of God. It does not matter who tells him. His dad can tell him. His mom can tell him. His grandpa can tell him. I mean, his grandpa's really scary, so he may actually get through to him. All right. But it doesn't matter who is going to tell him. What's going to change his heart is the presence of God. That is what's going to change his heart. And as much as the presence of God can be felt in the River Lobby drinking a Jiver Joe cold brew, because let's be honest, it's pretty awesome, all right? It's going to be in heaven. It will be on my banquet table. I know this for a fact. But it does not matter if the presence is down there, because this is where the presence is, all right? And yes, Jesus can meet him with that coffee down there on the river. But you guys were in worship. Okay, you guys felt that, all right? I was a hot mess over there, like hot, like ugly cry, like hot mess watching these kids do what they did. And for those of you, if this is your first time here on Sunday morning, know that worship is pretty much like that every Sunday. Like that's the standard, okay? Maybe it was a little better because I'm biased and all the students were up there, but, you know, we'll agree to disagree on that one, all right? But the presence of God is in this place. All right, you want to know where the presence of God is also? In United in Crown on a Friday night. All right, it's just the truth. The truth is your kids need to be there. You need to find a way to get them there. Because not only are they meeting with Jesus, but they're building friendships that are going to impact them for the rest of their lives. All right, I wasn't a super popular kid at school. I mean, I'm sure you guys are probably very surprised by that, all right? But when I was in high school, I had like a few friends here or there, all right? I was what I considered a ghost, okay? I was the captain of the football team, so like I had those friends, all right? I was friends with like the Dragon Ball Z nerds because I love Dragon Ball Z, all right? And then, you know, I had my sister's dance studio friends. Like I had friends all over the place, all right? You know what? I took gymnastics. It was great. It was great. Yeah. And so I had friends all over the place, but I wasn't what you would consider like Mr. Popular. All right. But you want to know the friends that I still talk to this day? It's the kids that I met at church. Those are the friends that I still talk to today. All right. Now, thankfully, we do have a lot of kids who go to a Christian school, and so hopefully they're making Christian friends. All right. But those friends in youth ministry are the friends that impacted my life. All right. And let's be honest. Some of those friends didn't make the best decisions in their lives. Okay. I've got a couple of friends, you know, life was hills and valleys for them. All right. But those are the kids that made an impact. And so I actually was talking to the Crown students last Sunday, and I asked them, I said, who do you hang out with the most? Is it your Christian friends or your non-Christian friends? And for about half of them, it was their non-Christian friends. And let's be real. It's a lot easier to get pulled down than it is to get pulled up. All right? There is a chair object lesson I could do right now, but you know, I worked out this weekend, so I'm just not, you know, standing on a chair, pulling, this is not good, all right? So your kids need to be there, and I am an example of this, all right? Because my mom and my dad, all right, we were called, or they were what I would call CE Catholics, all right? Christmas, Easter. Those are the only 2 days that we went to church as a family, okay? And they were great days. Okay, they were great days. I have some fond memories of my mom. You know, if you guys know Catholic moms, all right, Catholic moms, like Christian moms, if you misbehave in church, they beat you in the parking lot, all right? Catholic moms will beat you right there in the pew. It does not matter who is watching. It's, you know, and my mom had an arm that could snake all the way down the pew. I mean, I could be on the opposite side, and my mom's arm would find a way to pinch. Everyone get the pinch, the Catholic pinch, you know what I mean? Like you're misbehaving. And I don't know how they do it, but it didn't matter where my mom pinched me, a pressure point was there. Even where there, like, physically is not a pressure point, she, like, it's like they made pressure points. But that being said, all right, we would go to church, and my favorite part of Catholic Mass was the Hallow Be Thy Name song, all right? And so this lady would come out with, if you guys have ever seen the original Robin Hood with the foxes, you know, the guitar that the guy drinks the wine out of, the like whatever, I don't know what it's called, but what is it? A lute. Okay, so he's got the, she would come out with this lute and she would play, and me and my sisters would get so excited. We're like, oh, the hell of a thing, the hell of a thing. And then it was like, bop, 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 bop. All right, and so lady comes out. All right, and she starts playing, and she's like, hallow be thy name. And, like, we're like, yes, okay? Now, I don't know what happened up to that point or what happened after that point, all right? But it was the hallow be thy name song. And so my mom, okay, my parents, like I said, Christmas and Easter were the only 2 days that we really went to church, okay? I went to CCD, I was baptized, I was confirmed, I did all that stuff. But the only church days was Christmas and Easter, okay? And when I was 15, all right, I had a conversation with a couple of girls, and they were like, hey, you should come to church. And as a 15-year-old boy, I was like, yes, I should come to church, okay? And so my mom, all right, who's not, you know, she's at Christmas and Easter, okay? So, like, church was not something that was like a, you know, like, let's get up and go kind of thing, all right? My mom went out of her way to make sure that I was there every Friday that I wanted to be there, all right? If anyone had a reason for me not to go, it was her. It was my family. But yet they decided, and my family was busy. My sisters were competitive cheerleaders, competitive dancers. I played football. Like, when we had a lot going on. But my mom made sure that I was there because I wanted to go. I did have to tell her that it was not a cult. I'm like, Mom, it is not a cult. It's not a cult. Okay? And it caused some friction with my family because I went to a, you know, Pentecostal faith church and not the Catholic church that we went to twice a year. All right? And so once I explained it wasn't a cult, it was fine. But my parents made sure I was there. All right? And I didn't know what was going on when I showed up. All right. I remember having conversations with those kids and being like, ah, church, you know, it's kind of boring. But do you have the Hallow Be Thy Name lady? Is she there? Is that like in all churches? So I started going. People are raising their hands. I'm like, what is going on? They're singing more than like the two hymns that, like, I mean, I'm like, what is this place? Like, what is going on? Okay. And so while I'm in this place, okay, going on Fridays, not knowing how to seek the Lord, not knowing what to do to seek the Lord, just knowing that God was just always kind of there. It was the presence of God that moved in my heart to get me from a point where I was just sit there during worship to all of a sudden I'm raising my hands in worship. And I still to this day can remember the song that broke me because it's my all-time favorite worship song ever. Heart of Worship gets me every time, all right? And I remember we're singing this song. I remember, like, looking at the words and just crying. Not even understand why I was crying, but something inside of me broke, and I realized that there was a God that I needed to worship, all right? And then a few months or a few weeks later, my father falls off of a railroad bridge, okay? And he's in a coma for 7 days, and I'm sitting here staring at my dad, the strongest man in my life, in a hospital bed with tubes going in and out of him, not knowing whether or not he was going to come out of that, and thinking, all right, Jesus, if you're real, I need you. All right, I need you. And I'll be honest, my relationship with my dad was always there, but it wasn't super great. It wasn't super great, okay? He was there, but his fatherly love and version of how to be a dad was just providing for the family. Like, it was just, I'm a provider, I'm a worker. And don't get me wrong, like, that's how he knew how to love. I'm not like, you know what I mean? God has really done a work in me and my father's relationship, all right? But at that point, as a 15-year-old kid, I'm staring at him, and I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen, and I don't know how I feel about this. And I was like, all right, Lord, I've been doing this for about 6 months. If you are real, I need you. There was no come to the altar and accept Jesus. There was no, you know, accept, believe, confess. Like, there was none of that. It was me laying on my grandparents' couch, staring out the window, saying, God, if you are real, I need you. And it was his presence that moved in my heart. It was being in his presence on Friday and starting to go on Sunday as soon as I could drive, but being in his house where God became to change my life. And so if our students aren't in his house, how can we expect their hearts to change? It doesn't matter if you tell them they're a Christian. It doesn't even matter if they confess to be a Christian. If they're not in his presence, then they're just going to walk through the motions. And I need you guys to understand, as a minister of the gospel, as a student ministry, it is our desire, it is our passion that these students don't just walk through the motions, that they love Jesus with everything that they have, that their relationship with him is their own. It's not yours as a parent. It's not yours as a grandparent. It's not even yours as their best friend, but it's theirs. Because when that relationship takes hold, Finn not paying attention during worship is going to go away. Because he's going to want to worship. Because he loves Jesus. And don't get me wrong, Finn does. He does. I'm just kidding. All right? She does. He loves Jesus. And when these kids love Jesus, you get to see them do the things that they're doing. And let's be honest, guys. These students are doing things way bigger than what you saw on stage here. All right? Not to in any way put what happened on stage down. But these kids are doing things that we don't even see. These kids are praying for each other. I mean, I don't even remember when I started praying for people, but that was like, I mean, I was in college. I was like, pray for someone? No. What if I say the wrong thing? What if my breath smells? I mean, there are so many reasons to not pray for someone. And we've got kids who will go from the stage, like from the ground, on the stage to pray for people on the worship team because the Holy Spirit is telling them to pray for people on the worship team. All right? I mean, if I step foot on the stage, like, something would happen. Like, I was like, I can't. Something would happen, all right? And so that's what these kids are doing. Because they love Jesus. And if you get your kids in this house and in those sanctuaries on Friday night, they're going to be around kids who love Jesus. All right, and don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the only people we can hang out with are people who love Jesus, because we need the darkness needs light, all right? But they need to be around these kids. They need to be around these leaders. They need to be around you worshiping Jesus. And so if they're sitting in the river lobby on their phones or drinking a coffee, or they're somewhere else on a Friday night, how will they know? How will they hit play? You get your kids here in this building on a Friday or a Sunday in his presence and let God do the rest. And believe me, I understand. All right, there are things going on in your lives. There are things going on in these students' lives that are so much bigger than, you know, what a Friday night can fix. But you know what they're not bigger? They're not bigger than what the presence of God can fix. All right? And if you get them in the presence of God, there is no ploy or attack from the enemy that is going to take these kids down. There isn't. Will they make mistakes? Absolutely. All right, I can tell you right now, there are a few kids in Crown that I may like to get out and dodgeball a little more than some of the other ones, okay? But God can work in them as much as he can work in the ones that I may let slide a little bit more, all right? But it's being in his presence, and there is nothing that can overtake the love of God. There is nothing that his presence can't heal, can't fix. But if they're not in the building, Think about the distractions that are out there. Think about it. I mean, we're celebrating putting phones away because we know how distracted and distracting those things are. Even yesterday when I was preparing my sermon, I like grabbed my phone because it was just the natural thing to do. Nicole goes, Bill Maina, you put that phone down right now. And I was like, you know what I mean? So I was like, oh. You know, I expected the pinch. Like she was, I'm sorry. All right. But, so, and there's a reason why I'm kind of saying this, all right? We do crown, we have a crown class, okay, and Pastor Holly talks about how 50% of his kids is the under 18, which is so cool. Like, it's so cool that our students want to, they want to engage. They want to do the things that God is calling them to do, all right? But these kids, they need to be in this service standing next to you worshiping the Lord. Because if they don't see us do it, if they don't see us leading by example, then they're going to get distracted. They're going to try to figure it out on their own. And guys, we're here to be that example. And it doesn't matter if you have a student who's in the ministry. It does not matter if your kids are grown up. It doesn't matter any of that stuff. If you are in this place on a Sunday morning, if you call His Providence Church your home, we need to be an example to these students. And so when we come into this place and we are distracted, when we say things like, oh, we don't need to go to church, or, oh, you know, I don't need to do that, or, you know, when we're doing this, what do we expect them to do? We need to be the example. All right? We need to stand with our kids and raise our hands in worship. We need to put our phones away. And don't get me wrong, like, emergencies, we get it. We get it. But, like, you know, when we're checking the score, the whatever game, or, you know, updating our Instagram with, like, at church, hashtag blessed. Like, when we're doing stuff like that, what kind of an example are we setting? These kids need to see us with our hands raised, all right? Ugly crying like I was over there. Not because God is an emotional God who only reacts to the emotion of things, but because when we stand with arms wide open, hearts abandoned, however the song goes, all right, getting back to the heart of worship, like gratitude, all of these songs, when we give everything that we have to the Lord, these kids are going to see that. And they're going to start to respond in like, because they're going to see what God is doing in your life and think, I want some of that. And so I can tell you guys, the two youth leaders that made the biggest impact in my life were two single older people, all right, who had no kids, but yet loved Jesus and loved us. All right, loved us. So it doesn't matter if you're the greatest parent in the world. It doesn't matter if you've never had a kid in your life. God will give you the opportunity to pour into these students. And these students need that. They need your wisdom. They need your love. They need to see someone who has been through the fire, who has faced adversaries and watched as God blew them away. Because that's what God does. When we trust Him, He blows us, or He blows things away. And so, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says this: imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So I'm asking you guys to be that example to these students. And the way that we become that example is by working our own relationship with Jesus out. Because these kids are looking for something real. And these kids get that on a Friday night. They watch as leaders respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. They watch as their peers respond to the moving of the Holy Spirit. But they need examples. And so that falls on us. Even so much more than me as the youth pastor, or Holly and Roger as the leaders. It falls on all of us to be that example. So what is your relationship with Jesus like right now? What is it? Is it your own? Do you come here on Sunday because it's the cool thing to do? And is everyone perfect? Absolutely not. I 100% know that I am not. You can ask my wife. She will confirm, okay? Though she's very lucky that she asked me. I'm just saying. Yeah. But what is your relationship with Jesus like? Because that is the most important part of our lives. If I was to go up and ask your closest friends, is so-and-so a Christian? Does so-and-so love Jesus? They may be like, yeah, you know what? I think they're a Christian. They go to church on Sunday, but let me tell you, Monday through Friday, woo! The Bible calls us to be a living example. A living example. And maybe some of you guys didn't go to His Kids or Crown or United. You didn't have a youth ministry. You got saved later on in life. And you know what? That's a powerful testimony in itself. And these kids, these students, they need powerful testimonies of what God did in your life. They need believers who walk in faith, who walk trusting the Lord in everything that they do. So much more than we need programs, so much more than we need dodgeball or eating live goldfishes. We need people who are real because these students are seeking something real. Jesus is asking for something real from you. Jesus is asking for something real from me because I'll be honest, guys, even me, it's so easy to just go through the motions. You know, I got to teach Monday through Friday history. All right, let's do it. You know, you just get into this rut, as we call it. You know, on the outside, looks great. Whoa, Mr. Maid is awesome. But yet it's the same thing over and over again. It's so easy to get into a cycle, to get into a rut. But Jesus has got his hand out, calling us onto the waters. Because he loves us. He loves us. He died for us. And it doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't even matter what you're going to do. All that matters is that you realize how much he loves you. So I ask you, what is your relationship with God like? Do you have a real relationship? Does he live inside your heart? Or are you just going through the motions? Are you just checking a box? Because God has called you to so much more than checking a box. There is a plan and a purpose that only you can fulfill. And if you fulfill those plans, and these students get to see that, you are making a difference that is going to surpass generations And we serve a God who wants to impact generations. And he wants to use you to impact generations. So the real question is, are you willing? Are you ready? Will you be that example? Because they need something real. And I can guarantee you, your heart needs something real. Because God never intended us to fake it until we make it. And our heart cries out for him. So we have some students who want to pray for you. We have some leaders who want to pray for you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, like I said before, our heart is for these students to have a genuine relationship with Jesus. To trust the Father like no other. Not because their youth pastor tells them to, or their parents or the pastors or anything like that. But because they know just how much Jesus loves them. And so I'm going to ask you guys now, do you know just how much Jesus loves you? Because he loved you so much that he died for you. Your name came to his mind on that cross. Every sin that you're going to commit, every sin that you've committed, came to Jesus. He thought of you on that cross. That is how much he loves you. And not only does he love you, but he is so proud of you. Just as proud as I am of these students, that's how proud Jesus is of you. And he wants a relationship, not an obligation, not a tradition, not a religion, but a relationship. So if you need to feel the love of Jesus, these altars are open. And you're going to have teenagers and prayer team members who are going to pray for you, because that's how much Jesus loves you. That he put it on the hearts of a bunch of teenagers to meet you here at this altar. And yes, as much as God's presence is in this place, real change happens here at the altar. So Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for the incredible things that you're doing in our lives. Even if we don't feel like we have much to be thankful for, God, we can be thankful for what you did for us on that cross. We can be thankful, Lord, that we're in this room right now. Because, God, you specifically picked every person in this room to be here. Because, Lord, you want them to know just how much you love them. You want them to know just how much you desire to have that relationship with them. That it's so much more than a sinner's prayer. It's so much more than a Sunday morning sermon. But it's a lifestyle that changes us from the inside out. And so, Jesus, I pray, God, that you will move on every heart in this room, from the youngest to the oldest. And that you will shake up the grounds, Lord. Tear down tradition, tear down religion, and let these hearts know that you long for that relationship.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.